Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Your son. We know you've been in contact with him. When and how did you make contact with him? Six.
What?
Six. Six people have been taken this week. This thing that took your son. We don't really understand it. But its behavior is predictable. Like all animals, it eats. It will take more sons, more daughters. I want to save them. I want to save your son. But I can't do that. Not without your help.
Stop. I know who you are. I know what you've done. You took my boy away from me. You left him in that place to die. You faked his death. We had a funeral. We buried him. And now you're asking for my help? Go to hell.
Okay. Now what do you know?
I'm sorry. Did I stutter? I told you. Everything.
What do you know?
I know you do experiments on kidnapped little kids whose parents' brains you turned to mush. And I know you went a little too far this time and you messed up in a big way. I mean, you really messed up, didn't you? Big time. That's why you're trying to cover your tracks. killed Benny Hammond, you faked Will Byers' death, and you made it look like that little girl just ran away. See, I told you. I know everything.
Who are you working with?
Nobody. But I did give all this over to my friend at the Times. He's gonna blow this thing wide open.
You're just a junkie. Small town cop who had a really bad week. Took one too many pills this time.
You made a mistake coming back here.
No, I didn't. Here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna let me and Joyce Byers go. You're gonna give us anything we need, and we're gonna find her son. And then we're gonna forget that any of this ever happened.
Was that right?
Yeah. That's right.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final episode of Stranger Danger Season 1. So, what does that mean? Well, that means that we are 1 week away from Stranger Things 2. People are saying Stranger Things Season 2, and Stranger Things are saying, no, it's just Stranger Things 2, like a little sequel. So what does that mean for next week? Well, you know what? I'll talk about that at the end of this episode, but let's not waste any time. Let's jump into this and talk about the final episode, Season 1, Stranger Things, Episode 8, The Upside Down. The episode opens up with Joyce, if you heard it, that you heard in the long opening. Joyce is in the lab, and she's like, let me out of here. Brenner comes in, questions her. How did you find the boy? 6 people have been taken. So we know Will. We know Barbara. We know that they said 2 hunters, I remember, in a previous episode. So that's 4. I don't remember if they talked about anybody else going missing. But anyway, 6 people have been taken, and, you know, Brenner's like, how did you find the boy? Tell us how you found the boy. Tell us how you know the boy's alive. She ain't having that. She's like, I know who you are. I'm not going to help you. I know what you did. You faked my boy's death. You tried to cover it up. We had a funeral. Meanwhile, Hopper's getting questioned and getting tased by Brenner's, like, number 2 and number 1, number 2, the lady, and the creepy lady who killed Benny, and the kind of, I don't know, creepy-looking guy, too. They question him, like, he's like, I know everything. You went too far. And he's kind of, he knows everything, but he's also assuming that, you know, and he's assuming correctly, basically everything he says. And they're like, you know, we are going to drug you. And they look like they're going to drug him, turn him into a junkie. He's like, no, you're not. You're going to give me everything I want. You're going to let us go. And we're going to go find the boy. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, yeah, you jerks, really. You know, where the episode left, Hopper and Joyce were heading towards the lab. There's no Jim. Oh, no, Jim Hopper. Nancy and Jonathan went back to the police station to steal all their weapons to fight the Demogorgon. And that left Mike, Dustin, Will, and Eleven back at the school. And they're all just kind of waiting, and Mike's getting restless. He's like, where did they go? Where did Nancy and Jonathan go? And one of them's like, oh, they're probably off making out. But really, we cut over to them, and they are busy getting ready for the monster. They're prepping. They're getting all their weapons finalized. It reminded me of actually Nancy on Nightmare on Elm Street. And while that whole thing's going on, we cut back to the lab, and Brenner actually ends up meeting with Hopper. And, Hopper's like, or Brenner's like, where's the girl? And, you know, what starts to transpire here? To me, it's everything I've loved about Hopper. It's almost like he's, you know, he didn't lose it all here, but he does something here that I hope he has to answer for. He probably will, but he does something here that, I'm just not very happy with.
Where's the girl? You gotta give me your word. Nobody's ever gonna find out about this. And those other three kids, those boys, you're gonna leave them alone. And I'll tell you. Tell you where your little science experiment is.
Yeah. So there it is. Hopper gave up 11. In turn, he got them to let him and Joyce venture off into the Upside Down. Look for Will. He got them to promise not to hurt any of the boys. So he's taken care of all his citizens, but in the meantime, he's given 11 up. The only thing that could make this okay for me is if we get a flashback in season 2 where it shows Hopper and 11 conspiring to do this. Where Hopper gives up 11 because it was 11's choice. Now, that probably doesn't make sense based on the rest of this episode because she is running. But maybe, I don't know. I'm just holding out some hope because I guess Hopper doesn't know the girl, but the fact that he would just give up this girl like that, it just, with the flashbacks we have in this episode and his daughter, it just doesn't seem like something he would do. But it sure looks like he did that. Because the next scene, he walks right into where Joyce is being held. He's like, we came to an agreement. And Joyce didn't ask any questions. They suited up in those hazmat suits. And they went off into the Upside Down. Brenner and his whole team, they just left. They went off into the Upside Down. And Brenner, they're like, okay, we're going to get 11 back. You know, they weren't even worried. He's like, I'm not worried. They'll never find him. Back in the Upside Down, we see Joyce kind of hyperventilating, getting nervous. And Hopper's like, you know, breathe in and out, in and out. We get our first flashback of Hopper's previous life, which he looked quite happy in. He's running around with his daughter. And all of a sudden, she starts showing that she's having breathing problems. So we know that his daughter passed away. And this obviously is the first sign of her being sick. And he's having her slow down her breathing in and out. And it just, when he was helping Joyce, it reminded him of helping his daughter. And it's so cool as they walk off, they're leaving the lab. They went into the gate and they turn right around. Well, not turn right around, they just... Basically, I'm assuming once they're in the gate, it's exactly like the other side, like that guy said the first time he went in and got killed. And they just walked right out the entrance. They know exactly where they're going because they know, you know, Hawkins. They're walking through the yard or through the courtyard of the lab, heading off into the woods. So while they're off in the Upside Down looking for Will, we got Jonathan and Nancy, who decide to cut themselves, the old-fashioned slice yourself in the hand, which I'm sure would just kill, to create blood to attract the monster. But back at the school, the boys at 11 are just kind of hanging out, waiting. Mike is still getting restless. He wants to know what the hell's going on. The others just want to stay put, and they just want to wait. Do what the chief said. But in the meantime, Dustin and Lucas go off to look for some pudding. So we cut back to Jonathan and Nancy. And while they're waiting, boom, knock on the door. Steve shows up. He's like, I want to apologize. I'm really sorry. I want to make things right. And then he sees Nancy's hand is bleeding. And he's like, what the hell's going on? He opens the door. Then he sees Jonathan in there. He's like, did you do this? What the hell's going on? And then the lights start to flicker.
Lights! It's here. Wait, what's here?
Where is it?
Where is what? Whoa! Be easy with that!
Where is it?
I don't know. I don't see it.
Where is what? Hello! Will someone explain to me what the hell is going on?
And that, my friend, is when Steve's face turn finally became official. You know, he started to tease it. He left his friends. He wanted to help with the graffiti. And now he's with Jonathan and Nancy. They've seen the monster. And, well, I wouldn't say his face turn was complete just yet. Oh, and that's for wrestling fans. A face turn is when a bad guy turns to a good guy. But I love it. They go into the room and he's like, what the hell? What the hell? What the hell is that? And he's freaking out. And they go into the room and the monster's gone. So we cut back to the Upside Down. I wonder if the monster went to the Upside Down. I'm not sure because he comes back pretty quick. We cut back to the Upside Down and Hopper and Joyce find Castle Byers. They went to the woods. They went straight to Castle Byers because that's where Will was last time. And it's in pieces. And actually, Hopper sees a little toy there and he has another flashback to his daughter. You know, she, at this point, she lost all her hair and she seems really sick. And he's reading her story. And just the juxtaposition, is that the correct word, of Hopper thinking about his kid while trying to save a kid, while in turn giving up another kid. Tough, man, this guy. The stuff he has had to deal with, he's had to deal with in this whole series and in his life, this character. You know, oh, I'm sorry, I'm very tired. Tough, but hopefully he'll have to answer to it in season two. Back over at the Byers house, this is really where Steve's face turn is complete. So he's freaking out, and they're like, you know, you got to get the hell out of here. Just leave before it comes back. So he's like, all right, I'm out of here. Boom. Runs out to the car, you know, goes to get his keys, and he starts seeing the flashing in the house, the lights flashing. And, you know, he's only known about this monster for a good 10, 15 minutes, but he knows what that means. And inside the house, the monster attacks. It pins down Jonathan. Nancy shoots at nothing. And then Steve, with the full face return, returns with the bat with the nails. And he starts beating the crap out. He even winds up cocky. A little cockiness right there. He winds up the bat, beats the hell out of the monster, steps into the trap. And then, boom, they burn that sucker. The scream is so loud that it could be heard by Hopper and Joyce in the Upside Down. Jonathan puts out the fire. And that mofo... it's gone. It's already gone. They're like, no, it can't be. It's got to be dead. Nope. It not. The scream actually brought Hopper and Joyce out of the woods right to the Byers house in the Upside Down. And this is really one of the coolest scenes, and it kind of gives you an explanation of what was happening with the lights the entire time. So Hopper and Joyce walk into the house, And while they're walking near Nancy, Jonathan, and Steve, the lights are flickering near them. So it's almost like their energy in the Upside Down is still like giving enough of an electrical impulse or electrical, you know, whatever charge that it is causing the lights around it to light up. So when someone touches a light, I'm sure it turns on. When someone goes near a light, it turns on. And it just led for a really cool scene because Jonathan knew, he just could feel that it wasn't the monster.
Joyce, come on.
Where's it going?
I don't think that's the monster.
Just a cool scene. Real, like, seeing the bond between mother and son, even whilst in another dimension. Really touching. And then, of course, it was followed up with this.
Found it! I knew she was hoarding it. I knew it. Always lying, saying she's out. Bald-faced liar.
Mike! I found the chocolate bunny!
Okay!
That is why this show is so great, because you can have touching moments, you can have scary moments, and then you can have funny moments, because the writing and the acting is so great. So there's a little scene where Mike talks to Eleven, and it wasn't quite the Chunk sloth scene of, you're going to live with me now, and then Chunk goes, ah! It wasn't quite that. This was a little more touching. He basically is like, you know, you're going to live, you can live with us. You can live in, you can have my room. You can have a real sister. And she's like, and a real brother. He's like, no, 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 you're gonna be my brother. I'm not going to be your brother. He basically wants to date her. He wants to take her to the big snowball dance. And, ends up kissing her. And just as he kisses her, some car headlights pull up and he's like, oh, they're back, you know. Maybe I forget if he thought it was Nancy and Jonathan or if it was Hopper and Joyce. I think he thought it was Nancy and Jonathan. So he just runs outside to see them. And guess what? It wasn't them. It's the bad men. They're all there. All the cars are showing up. And, you know, it's because Hopper sold them out. At first I thought, wait, how did they know? Oh, that's right. That some bitch Hopper sold them out. So he runs in there and he's like, the bad men are here, and they got all the pudding ready to go, and then, boom, they book it out of there. Everyone, all the bad guys come in. Brenner walks in, sees the pool. So all of a sudden, they know, you know, that they've set up the deprivation tank. Not that it matters, they know, because, well, we'll get to that. So they're running around, showing, you know, trying to get away, the kids, and they're like, how do we know? How do we know? And Dustin called it. He said Lando. Now, for those who don't know, they would just hear that and they wouldn't even register the reference. But Dustin referencing Empire Strikes Back when Lando Calrissian betrays Han Solo and Princess Leia and Chewbacca, basically sells him out to Darth Vader. Yeah, pretty cool Star Wars reference. But he knows they were betrayed. So they get cornered by that woman and a bunch of guards. And oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Eleven kills, language, the shit out of them. He gets that. I wrote down that bitch that killed Benny. Finally, she gets her comeuppance. So they have that. She has her gun drawn. You know, oh, we promise we won't hurt them. And then, boom, she has her gun drawn on those kids. Eleven shows up, steps up, looks right at her. And their faces basically start to melt. Their eyes, their eyes start to bleed, and boom, they all just collapse. And then Eleven collapses because it just took way too much out of her. We cut back to Joyce and Hopper, and they are walking through the city streets. You know, you realize they know exactly where they are. They're both Hawkins residents, longtime Hawkins residents, based on the fact that Joyce and Hopper know each other. And they end up following kind of the weird decay or the vines, I don't know what exactly you'd call it, like the creepy vines, I guess. And they trace it all the way back to the Hawkins Public Library. So they walk right into that library. And while they're in the library, we cut back to the Hawkins High School, Hawkins High, and where Mike and the boys are attending to Eleven, who doesn't seem to be doing that well.
She's barely breathing.
We gotta go.
Leave her. Step away from the child.
No, you want her? You have to kill us first.
That's right.
Eat shit!
Get out! No!
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 Get out of there!
You idiot!
No!
No! No! No!
Get off me!
Get out
of me!
Eleven. Eleven, can you hear me? Eleven.
Papa.
Yes. Yes, it's your papa.
Get off of me!
I'm here now.
Let her go! Let her go, you bastard!
You're sick. You're sick, but I'm going to make you better. I'm going to take you back home, where I can make you well again. Where we can make all of this better. So no one else gets hurt.
Bad. Bad. Mike.
What?
Uh-oh. So what the hell just happened there? So Eleven, she's in a weakened state, but the boys end up getting caught by some more guards while they were attending to Eleven. Brennan walks up, and he's like, oh, my girl, I'm going to bring you back and nurse you back to health, and no one else will get hurt. So he's basically using the fact that people are getting hurt against her. And she's like, bed. And, you know, she's thinking about going back there, but she's also thinking about the fact that Mike offered his bed and his home to her. But he sees Mike struggling. And, you know, when she says Mike, to me it means, you know, stop fighting. This is over. I'm going to go with Brenner and just put an end to this. But something happens in the meantime. And Mike realizes, the lights start flickering, Mike realizes the blood. The blood is attracting the Demogorgon. So boom, it literally jumps or rips its way through one of the walls. And the guys start unloading on them. You know, there's my machine gun sound effect. And the boys, everyone's distracted. So the boys grab Eleven and they book it. They run out of there. And very unceremoniously, very anticlimactically, Brenner's killed. It's almost like, I don't know, it's just weird. They showed a weird shot of Brenner looking at, you know, nothing. Like he's looking at the camera, you know, it's something behind the camera. And then the monster jumps on him, and that's the end. Just like that, Brenner's dead. He's dead, right? I mean, there can be no other option. I haven't looked, but Matthew Modine's not in season two, right? I mean, this is it. There's no secret, you know. Is it me just, again, the two things I didn't like. I didn't like that Hopper turned, and I didn't like that Brenner died the way he died. I'm glad that he died, but the way that he died just felt like, no, there's got to be more than that. But maybe there isn't. Maybe that was it. So we cut back to the Upside Down in the library, and Hopper and Joyce are basically finding what seems to be the Demogorgon, the monster's nest. There's some skeleton remains, like almost like they're in a cocoon. There's Barb's dead body. And there's Will pinned up against the wall. And he's got this, he's unconscious. He barely looks alive. And he's got this thing, like tube. You'd think it'd be like a breathing tube or something, some other kind of tube, sticking out of his mouth. And it's not a tube. I mean, Hopper goes in and he rips that sucker out. And it slithers. I mean, it's a living, breathing, I don't know if it's a tentacle or a snake of some kind. But when I saw that, I realized there's more than just the Demogorgon. Maybe the Demogorgon isn't the main monster. Maybe the Demogorgon, I call it the Demogorgon because that's what everyone, that's what the kids call it. So maybe the monster serves this larger thing in the Upside Down, this thing that was breathing, was basically living off of Will, almost like the Matrix. I don't know. But we cut back to probably the coolest scene in the entire episode. The boys, you know, they ran off with 11. She's really weak. And they go hide in a classroom. And they hear gunfire, gunfire, you know. And then it stops. And they're like, oh, is it over? Boom. The Demogorgon is in the room. Smashes through the room. Lucas has his wrist rocked, and he's firing. They're like, more, you know. They don't know what, the kids don't know what to do, and it's doing absolutely nothing. Till one shot, seemingly, he takes a shot, and the Demogorgon flies across the room. And they're like, what the hell? And then, boom, there's 11, doing her little strut, doing her little walk. And Mike's like, no, and she's like, boom, and she pushes him back.
11, stop!
She pushes him back, and they're all just kind of frozen, standing there. And 11 just pins the Demogorgon up against the wall. I mean, the thing is powerless. She just shows how much stronger she is in this thing. And she knows that she can take this thing out. She knows what she has to do. So she turns to Mike and says,
goodbye, Mike.
Oh, it was so sad. I mean, she just turned, and Mike cries a little. He knows. They all kind of know, you know, what the hell's about to happen. And she just turns on this sucker.
No more.
Oh, when she says that. It's almost like I thought her eyes got a little bigger, like her pupils. I don't know. It just, and her face was like, it just straining. There was that scream. And the Demogorgon at 11. Basically exploded into this dust, into this, I don't know what it was, but she was gone. The threat of the Demogorgon is gone, but the threat to Will in the Upside Down, not over yet. We got back to the library, and Hopper and Joyce are giving this kid CPR. We have another flashback of Hopper's daughter, basically all the nurses working on her, the doctors giving her CPR, trying to extend her life, and we see the moment where she passes. And at the same time, it's cutting back with Hopper just banging on his chest, trying to bring this kid back to life, while Joyce is doing mouth to mouth. The music was great. It was nice. It was like an eerie, sad moment that ended really happily because, boom, Will starts breathing. They put the gas mask on him, like the breathing apparatus. And, you know, from there, I assume they just make their way right back to the gate, because the next scene we see are the Wheelers, parents showing up at the high school, searching out Mike, giving him a big hug. And that reminded me of, you know, the Goonies ending, where the parents finally show up to see how the kids are after they go through some crazy crap. So Will is alive. He wakes up in the hospital. His mom and brother are there. They've given him some gifts. They're just happy to see him. And everyone is in the waiting room waiting for him. I mean, we got Hopper out there. We got Joyce out there. We got Nance out there. We got Steve out there. We got the Wheelers out there. We got the boys. They're all sleeping. Lucas and Dustin are sleeping. And Mike is just kind of sitting there. You know, he's sad. He's thinking about 11. But then Jonathan comes out, gives the little nod. He wakes up the boys, and they go in, and they just basically jump on him, give him a big hug. The gang is back together. And Will says to them, he got me, the Demogorgon. That's the same line that he said when he left Mike's house in episode 1. I'm almost positive. I don't have time to go back and look. I'm too tired. But that was awesome. And they were like, we know, but he's gone. We killed him. We have a friend that killed him, and they tell him all about 11 and her superpowers. And, as kids do, they just went on and on and on. Jonathan just watched, walked, and Nancy was watching Jonathan, and she just kind of walks off. And while she walks off, we see Hopper going outside for a smoke. And that's when a couple suits show up. They pick him up in the car, and they drive off with him. Why is that? Obviously the government agency that Brenner worked for, they're not all dead. Brenner and his team are all gone, but there's always more. Hopper made a deal to get, Will and the boys safe. He gave up 11. But 11's gone, so maybe now they're coming for him to find out where 11 is. We don't really get an explanation. We don't know at all why he's still, I guess, tied up with these government guys. But I'm sure we'll find out. And boom, 1 month later. A month has passed since Will Byers has miraculously come back to life. And where are we? But we are back in the Wheeler basement playing Dungeons and Dragons. So it's kind of like the same moment at the beginning where they're on a campaign and Mike is the dungeon master. He's telling the story, and that's when the Demogorgon is first brought up because they're under attack in the game. This time, it's something called the Thessal Hydra. So I looked it up just in case this is a kind of a foreshadowing. I don't see anything that tells me it is based on, in the previews. It looks like a giant spider type thing. But this is the Thessal Hydra. The Thessal Hydra is probably the first and most well-known of the Thessal monsters. Okay. It resembles a hydra for the most part with a few differences. Well, what the hell's a hydra? It's not going to tell me right here. I think a hydra is like, it's got all like different heads, right? Instead of its 8 heads emerging straight from the reptilian body, okay, so I guess it would have a reptilian body with 8 heads, that's a hydra. They form a ring around a large circular mouth rimmed with jagged teeth. The tail end is a set of pincers that can grab an opponent and force it into the large mouth. The main mouth can spit out a gob of acidic saliva once every day. I wonder if that's just, them playing with us, if they have any need for that, or if it's just showing a different monster, But I just wanted to note that. So they're playing Dungeons and Dragons, and they end up winning, beating the monster. And Jonathan shows up to get Will, and, it's kind of fun. It shows that they're all more friendly now. Jonathan shows up, come gets Will, jokes around with the kids. And they leave, and Lucas and Dustin start fighting, playfully fighting. And Mike looks over at the fort that's still there, and he's just sad. Sad because he misses 11. He misses his girl. And when they go upstairs, Will's friendly with the Wheeler's mother, and Nancy comes downstairs and gives Jonathan a gift. And she's like, well, it's not really, it's a gift, but. She gives him a nice little kiss on the cheek, and, it was a sweet little moment. And so Will gets an, they both get in the car. Will and Jonathan get in the car, and Will's like, can I open it? And he's like, yeah, you can open it. And it's a new camera. And he's like, that's cool. He's like, yeah, it is cool. And cuts back to Nancy in her Christmas sweater going and sitting down, and there's young Steve. No more, his beat up face is back to normal. And she sits on his shoulder. They give a little kiss, I think. Just, you could tell that it's Steve and Nancy are still together. And Steve's nice now because he's like, did you give it to him? And she's like, yeah. So it shows me that Steve and her pitched in to buy a new camera because he asked about it. He didn't care. There was no, you know, jealousy. Steve's my boy now. But the show's not over yet. We cut back over to the police station where there's a Christmas party going on. But it first zooms in on the article of the boy who came back to life, and it's a picture of Will. And I tried to take a picture of it. It says, the former missing child, Will Byers, has been found after a week of searching. He is presently in stable condition at Hawkins General Hospital. Byers' mother, Joyce Byers, alleges that Will was a subject of a secret government program run by Hawkins National Laboratory. The allegation comes amidst a massive investigation into the hidden organization and its elaborate experimentations in pursuit of mind control. The abuse detailed is the first report includes prolonged physical duress and psychological interrogation. This something meant sanctioned torture has blank outrage amongst the American probably public. It's discussed, something about the Soviets. I didn't get a good thing, but the fact that maybe the backlash of this is maybe it'll be brought up in season two. It's a year later, so we'll find out. But it zooms out to a Christmas party, and the Christmas party looks like it's in full swing, but Hopper's already leaving. He's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's packing up some food, and he heads off. He doesn't go home, though. He drives off into the woods, pulls over, walks into the woods, and takes that food, puts it into a box, then puts some Eggos in there. And he closes it. Now, he's obviously the Eggos. He's leaving that for 11. But why? Does he think maybe she's still out there? Does he know maybe she's still out there? Is it something to do with him working with the government? Interesting, cool. Obviously, 11's still out there. But are her and Hopper friends now? See, this is the part where I think, is Hopper trying to make up for what he did? Or were her and Hopper already working in cahoots? So the final moments of the show. Final moments. Cut back to the Byers' house. It's Christmas. Jonathan's taking pictures with his new camera. Will thinks he's getting an Atari. They're about to eat dinner. And he goes to the bathroom. He looks a little sick. Blech, he coughs up this big slug. Now, he didn't freak out, so I'm thinking, is this the first time he's done this? I don't know, but for a moment, boom, there's a flash, and he's in the upside down again. And then, boom, it flashes back. So it's like he went there and he went back. Or was he just imagining it? I think he doesn't know. So he goes back to dinner, and he's like, everything's cool. And Christmas music is playing. We zoom out of the Byers' house as they have Christmas dinner and Stranger Things comes to an end. So what did we learn? What did we learn? Well, the Demogorgon monster is dead, but the threat of the Upside Down is not over. We learned that Steve's good now. Brenner's dead. 11 is gone or missing. Jonathan and Will and Joyce are back together. As a family. I don't know where the dad is. I wonder if we'll see him again. Will is having side effects to being in the Upside Down. Physical, spitting things up. Maybe mental, seeing the Upside Down. Hopper gave up 11. He has something still to do with the government. And he still has something to do with 11. Mike misses 11. Misses her a lot. Hasn't even taken the fort apart. And that was 1983 in Hawkins. Now we need to see where 1984 takes us. And we're going to find that all out next Friday. But what this podcast is not going to find out is English language. Next Friday, there's not going to be a show. So we did it. We went through 8 episodes in 8 weeks. But after next week, we will pick up right where we left off and start with episode 1 of Stranger Things 2. So this week off, just because I have too much stuff going on and I don't even want to talk about it. It's just, let me put it this way. I have probably dozens of people watching or recording, listening to this show. And just recording it, taking the time to record it this week has been a nice break and a nice thing that I needed to do. And I'll just leave it at that. But just with stuff going on next week, I will not be able to do an episode. I'm still watching the damn show. But we'll be back in 2 weeks. So this 1 week is going to give me time to kind of digest and binge the entire show. And then it's right back to the same schedule, watching every episode a second time. It'll be good to watch each episode 2 times to kind of get into it, make it fresh in my brain as we come back for Stranger Things 2. The Demogorgon's gone. But all is not good in Hawkins. So I can't say beware the Demogorgon, but I can say this. Will Byers is the key. I don't know, I just made that up. It's really late. Good night.
Fans Not Experts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.